Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
December 18th.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Movement Watches.
I love Movement Watches.
I also love Movement Watches.
I love them more.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News. Shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
We're here to talk about the Cybertruck. That's what we're talking about.
I'd love to talk about the Cybertruck.
That's what the episode's all about this week.
Let's definitely get into the Cybertruck. Okay, I'm happy to talk. Look, it's not movie news strictly related, obviously, but we can touch on it. Just quickly, though, our charity campaign has come to an end. And you may be wondering, but did it raise any money? Yes.
Yes, it did.
We were aiming for $50,000 and every dollar that we raised was matched, and we're sitting at $130,000.
That's incredible,
which
right?
is so much seaweed as the forest burns down in Australia as well.
Yeah.
We're going to be growing some seaweed too for the koalas to live in, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
Because all the koalas' habitats are burned down. So.
Mm, yeah, cool, cool.
Look, we may be fighting a losing battle here.
But at least we're trying,
yeah? We're giving it a go.
We're giving it a red hot go.
Well, I really just made that depressing. I didn't mean it to be because this is an incredible amount of money. Like, even without doubling it, we've far exceeded what we've raised in previous years.
We could buy so many Cybertrucks.
Oh my goodness.
With this amount of money, but we won't because it's going to the environment.
That's right. Not a man's vanity project.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
So I just wanted to quickly say thank you so much to everybody who's donated. We're going to be start rolling out all the bonus stuff from that. There'll be prizes for people who donated, et cetera, and so forth. But just really blown away. And thank you so much for the people who donated. It's amazing.
It's wild to see that amount of money
involved
in anything we've ever done.
That's right.
It's crazy.
And not in my own bank account.
Right?
God damn it. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Do you want to talk about the Cybertruck?
Yes.
Okay. Well, people have differing opinions on the way that it looks. It seems to be very divisive.
Uh-huh.
Where are you at?
I'm amazed by it.
Why is that?
I just, look, I don't...
It's normal. We've got time codes if you want to skip to some movie stuff.
If you want to talk to some non-Cybertruck related things. So Elon Musk of the Tesla Corporation and all these other various SpaceX and whatever.
Sure.
He's unveiled his latest car, which is a pickup truck that is...
Is it?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's a low polygon Minecraft truck is what it is. I think it looks great. I mean, if I was someone who was so rich that I had like 50 cars, why not make this car number 50?
And it's not even super expensive, I guess.
Yeah, they're like 40 grand or
that's
something.
That's for the starting model.
Yeah, right.
But also, there's a few things that happened in the demonstration that made me question.
It had allegedly bulletproof glass.
Yes.
And he sort of softballed. He lobbed a rock at the glass a couple of times, and both times
it broke.
It shattered the
and
glass.
The funniest thing about that was that they continued the presentation with a broken glass
right?
just sitting behind them the whole time. I mean, that can be fixed, obviously.
Broken glass.
I mean the type of glass.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's not coming out for like 2 years. But the other thing is they hit it with a sledgehammer, which is good that the car's strong.
Uh-huh.
But that's how they used to make cars. And if a car doesn't crumple when it gets hit, it shreds everybody on the inside.
Well, it's worth it, though. You know?
As long as the car's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, the worst that happens is you end up in Minecraft hell. And then you can escape that through some sort of ritual, as I understand it.
You see, I don't hate the design either. I think it's... But I would never buy this. I could have infinite money and I wouldn't get
right.
this.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
I'd get a regular Tesla.
For me, most cars exist in this realm of like, well, if someone gave me one, sure, I'd take it. But if they were like, do you want the money instead? I'd be like, yeah, I do want the money instead, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Because you got to pay tax on that car. Though.
Exactly.
Probably,
but I mean, like, you know, it looks like my friend Reed Parker, who's like a Photoshop guy on Twitter and stuff, he put it in the RoboCop 3 video game.
Oh, right.
Like, just a low polygon. Like, it's been photoshopped into a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that would definitely, like, it looks like it could, looks like the car from Aliens.
Oh, and Total Recall.
Total Recall. Yeah. People saying, like, Cyberpunk 2099 looks like it could fit into that. Yeah. Look, at least it looks different. Like, it doesn't just look like every other
car. See, that's why I like it. Yeah. That's again, would I buy one? Probably not. But, like, the idea that it would spur on,
you know, a better looking car.
Have you seen, you know, whenever you see a cool old car drive past, like a Stingray or something like that, you're like, damn, they used to be able to make cars that look good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't disagree
with
that.
Now they make cars that look bad. This one looks bad, but in a different way. So at least somebody's attempting it, you know?
Do you think it's going to end up being the DeLorean of its time? Because it seems like a lot of people are in on it.
No, I get the sense that the DeLorean, was it a deliberately limited run, maybe? Or just bizarre?
I think it didn't bankrupt the guy.
It definitely bankrupted the guy. I think maybe, you know, because back then it would be hard to, the word to get out about a car like that.
Yeah.
And realistically, it just looked like a clunky car from the 80s, but with doors that went up.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
So, this is a whole new ball game, I think. And, you know, it's now been seen on the internet. You know, how many people wouldn't have bought one because they didn't hear about it, but then they just saw, because it went viral, because people threw rocks at it.
Yes.
Or because Elon Musk threw rocks at it. People would be like, I don't care if the glass is bulletproof. I just want this weird car.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, you're not wrong. Yeah. What do I need bulletproof glass for?
Anyway, if we can get a Cybertruck sponsorship.
I don't want, no.
Wow.
Well, they don't do sponsorship.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
well, if just a free Cybertruck would be
fine. I'll take a free one.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'd rather the money.
Yep, fair enough. Yeah, that's all right.
Just quickly, also, we did a Last Jedi commentary track leading up to the Rise
that's
of Skywalker.
That's true, we did. Long How time many? Between drinks.
That's right.
For commentary.
A lot of people have requested that it's coming up. And also, hopefully on sale Monday or Tuesday, there's going to be the USB tapes just in time for Christmas, which is going to have every commentary we've ever done on it, including an exclusive Avengers Endgame one.
That's right.
Which we were going to do much, much, much later. And maybe we'll release it online later. I don't know, but it's... For now and in the near future, it's going to be exclusively on that. Yeah.
Why? Peek behind the curtain, printing error.
That's right. It went on there and we have to do it.
Yeah.
I think Claire said, can you do an Endgame commentary for this exclusively? I'm like, yeah, whatever, Claire.
We were in here going, whatever. Big sandwich, different pants. We're just going to say things. We're just going to keep this machine rolling. Okay, Claire, whatever you want. Okay.
So that's happening, yeah. So if that's out, I'll link it below, but that's ready to go. All right, news of the week, Mason.
I'm ready.
John Turturro.
Tatoots
is playing Carmine Falcone in The Batman.
Oh, this is definitely a long Halloween movie.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Great casting. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look anything like any of the versions we've seen before, but sometimes people don't look like the comic book people.
That is correct, yes.
He's got that weird square head or whatever's going. He looks like a box.
He'll have time to bulk up. His head. Yeah.
Using series of surgeries and such. Yeah.
But he does have a crime boss vibe
100%.
To him. 100%.
I mean, he plays a great villain in Transformers the movie.
It's so true.
Is he a villain in that?
He's the Division 6 guy or
he
whatever
he is.
He
gets peed on.
He gets peed on, yeah, exactly.
He's making a falafel or something.
Absolutely,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a great actor, but he's... Those are terrible movies.
Oh, my God.
He's been in much better movies.
Exclusively better movies. Everyone in that franchise has been in almost exclusively better movies. There are Oscar winners in those movies. I don't understand.
No, everybody in that film has been in a better movie. You're 100% correct. So, I think when the cast continues to roll out, Andy Serkis was confirmed a while back. I don't know if we talked about that as Alfred, but, yeah, it's all happening. In other DC news...
Somebody suggested the other day, possibly on Twitter, and I apologize because I've forgotten your name.
It was me.
Thank you. Good work.
James.
Oh, James. Oh, Karen. I'm glad he said it because I was still struggling. I was spinning my wheels there a bit. Someone suggested that they're getting... It's not inconceivable that they could get Andy Serkis in to play a prior version of Alfred. Like they could get the Michael Gow version of Alfred.
Why, though?
Why? I don't know. I don't know.
Do you think they're doing a prequel to the Burton one or something?
Maybe.
Like that? No, because the penguin's in it.
Well, I don't think they could, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't put it past them.
No, exactly. I mean, he's a good actor in many things.
And
so.
Also, Matt Reeves has done Andy Serkis mocap stuff.
They're just friends, before, probably.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, surely not.
Right.
But maybe.
Yeah.
It just seems like a waste of money.
Agreed.
It's like with that Tarkin thing. Just don't put him in it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or that James Dean movie about Vietnam dogs.
That's right,
going on there.
Yep.
Do you want more DC news?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because if you said no, I don't even know what I would have done. The hashtag show says these characters are going to be introduced in Black Adam. Hawkeye, Atom Smasher, Stargirl.
Do you mean Hawkman?
I wrote Hawkeye, but yeah, probably Hawkman. Probably, yeah. Yeah, cool. He's an ancient-y.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I missed the middle one. Hawkman.
Atom Smasher.
Okay.
Stargirl.
So Justice Society characters. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Right. That's also interesting because we're getting a Stargirl TV series.
On the CW, it's coming up.
Okay, right.
Excited for
which
that.
They haven't even test run yet. No. So they don't know if that series is going to be good enough and that character compelling enough to steal it for the movies yet.
Maybe they just want to get in first.
Maybe they just want to get in first in to do the definitively to the definitively worse version.
Sure.
And then make the TV series look better.
Yeah, potentially. But I like the idea of a different team of superheroes.
Yeah,
right. They can work into the
and
movies.
That sounds to me like a 1940s team, maybe.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we've got
Hawkman's like multi-generational.
Yeah, Hawkman constantly reincarnates.
Yeah.
And Atom Smasher is, I think, the son of the original The Atom, who was a guy who didn't have any superpowers initially. He was just a little guy who punched a lot. So
why was he called The
my
Atom?
My kindred spirit. Just a little man who punches a lot.
Why is he called The Atom?
Because he was little, but he was powerful.
But not as little as an atom.
No, no.
And if you had to, like, he's not even halfway between.
Also correct, yes.
Okay,
I just had to do some quick mathematics, but yes.
What is he halfway? What's up?
No.
What's halfway between? 3 foot?
A small dog. Well, between a regular man and a real atom.
An atom.
Yeah.
It's like 3 foot, right?
Yeah, it's 3 foot. Yeah.
Great. Uh-huh. So he wasn't 3 foot.
Yeah, so if I would have to guess, I would say these are maybe his antagonists in the past.
Okay, sure.
Maybe. Because he's been...
The Stargirl from the past? Like, she's not from the past.
No, I mean, she's a modern day character, yeah. But I wouldn't put it past them to maybe have a... Maybe make that a legacy character and say, okay, well, there was one in the 40s or whatever.
Because can't they not use the other one or whatever?
They can't use one of the Starmen.
Mm.
So I would guess they could use the original Starman. Look, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But this is just probably me just hoping.
Yeah, right.
Because by Shazam, the movie, he was somewhere else. He was out in limbo. So maybe this storyline explains how he got there.
He's locked in a weird rock or whatever,
he's
isn't
locked
he?
In a rock, exactly.
You know he's locked in a weird rock, yeah, right? Like,
yeah.
For real.
Was that
not
in
for
movie?
Real, but I just feel like he probably is like that. He's in a, got trapped in a...
Do you mean metaphorically? Do you mean The Rock? Dwayne Johnson?
I don't think he could
actor.
Is
he trapped in The Rock persona? Like, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I thought you meant like 127 Hour style. Is he
pinned
under a rock?
Oh, is he pinned between some rocks? No. Could The Rock be pinned between some rocks? No.
Definitely not.
Anyway, Adam Smash is his son and he's got like... He can grow really big and small, and he's also like nuclear powered. So
terrific!
It's more useful, I feel.
Oh, that's than a guy that can just punch and isn't even halfway between an atom and a man.
Yeah, but again, continuity in these things, whatever. Just whatever. Throw whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, that's my hit prediction.
I love your hit pick.
It's going to be in the past.
Great. What about this though? As we were recording last week, the hashtag release the Snyder Cut was trending yet again.
All the celebrities are out.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, they're in. But they're out they're promoting out. Release the Snyder Cut.
They got Affleck, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, Zack Snyder all tweeted it out. Apparently Warner Brothers have no plans to release this version or a version because the original Snyder Cut, the script that he wrote he didn't film it.
Oh, right.
He did film a version and it wasn't the version that we ended up getting because apparently Joss Whedon was requested by Warner Brothers to reshoot 80 pages, which is...
80 minutes.
Quite a lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Of that 87-minute movie, maybe. Right. You know what I thought about the other day? I'm like, we should do a commentary on that. And then when I went to upload The Last Jedi...
We did it?
We did it.
We did one.
I completely
remember.
Forgot.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Fairly believable.
Very
so
believable.
So I think something is going on here.
Do you think so?
Definitely. Even though Warner Brothers are saying there's no immediate plans or whatever, all the actors are lining up for this thing.
Yeah.
Something is moving.
I think I even read an article recently where Henry Cavill was like, I never said for sure that I'm not doing Superman.
Yeah,
again.
Well, I think that was recently.
Never said for sure. I mean, I definitely did say for sure.
Because they were asking him about...
And I've definitely committed to what will probably be like at least 3 seasons of The Witcher on
it
television.
It seems that way, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, because they asked him about whether he's out and he's like, not entirely yet.
You want my hit prediction?
I want a hit pick.
I think it's going to be like a Blu-ray release of Justice League. But a bunch of unfinished scenes.
You don't think it's going to go with HBO, the new app?
Oh, HBO Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, look what The Mandalorian did for Disney Plus.
That's true.
We were talking about it before the show. What else have you watched?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Oh, on Disney Plus? No, I haven't. It's true. Well, I looked for Condor Man, and Condor Man wasn't on there.
I think it's on some parts of the world. That means somebody...
Are we geo-locked against getting condo, man?
Somebody
wow.
has blocked us. Though, I was watching some Toy Story shorts with my son,
mm-hmm.
and there's an episode, there's one where it's about, like, Happy Meal kind of toys,
okay.
and they've been rejected. And they're all made up. And then it's just Condor Man. And they're like, and Condor Man. And it's actually Condor Man. Like
as
the toy.
A McDonald's toy.
Yeah, or like a knockoff yeah, right, McDonald's uh-huh. version. Huh. I'm like, huh, there you go. So we do have a version of Condor Man.
Do you think
this
is Michael Crawford's doing?
It has to be.
Yeah.
The power of Crawford.
I think probably because he wants to be known in Australia as kind of that suave, debonair, you know, song and dance man. He doesn't want to be known as the ridiculous Condor Man.
You mean when he comes down for Hey Hey, It's Saturday?
Yes, exactly. Assuming he's still alive, which I think he is.
I think he is.
Yeah.
But hey, it's Saturday.
Anyway, tweet at him. Yeah, tweet as him. Michael Crawford.
Yeah.
You're at Mike Croft.
Mike Croft. Get him to reprise the role as Condor Man. It could be his Birdman.
Yes, gritty reboots of Condor Man.
Or if somebody can just deep fake Michael Crawford into the whole of Birdman, then
sure.
we're done.
Or Spider-Man Homecoming, whichever.
Whatever.
One yeah. Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter. So, I don't know. I just think there's... I don't think all these actors and directors get in a line for this without there being some kind of something happening.
Yeah, right.
None of this shit is an accident,
ooh.
I feel. I'm not saying it will definitely happen,
uh-huh.
but it's odd, right? Why would they do it? Why would they do it otherwise?
Residuals.
Yeah. that's a good point.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
yeah. I mean, I'm sure Affleck is being paid. He doesn't give a shit at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway. In other news, though, I don't know if you saw this. Josh Trank posted a Letterboxd review.
Of his own movie, Fantastic.
Fantastic. Do you want me to read it?
Yes.
Sure. So for those who may or may not remember, he famously was kicked off this movie and they released a version of it which seemed very much not in line with what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
He
in line with any form of recorded entertainment,
correct.
If I'm honest.
So he was off Trank for quite a long time.
He was off Trank. So this is his, because he tweeted, this is a Letterboxd account called... named Josh Trank. He tweeted it,
yes,
so it's definitely
it's
him.
Definitely him. Fantastic, huh? Okay, first thing of all, I thought it would be great if I searched FF2 2015 and the shit wasn't even on here. Low-key, I was kind of hoping it wasn't, but it was, and I'm here. Anyway, where to begin? The movie is all right. I was expecting it to be much worse than it was. I literally haven't seen it since like 2 weeks before it came out, and I was in heavily fucking traumatized state of mind. Why? I'll save that for another time. Anyway, movie review.
Wait, why?
Do I know why?
Yes.
Well, there were on set, there was stories about him clashing with directors and erratic
right,
behavior
yeah.
and mm-hmm. his dogs destroyed this house that he was staying in. But we don't know.
Mm.
We don't know what we don't really know. Everyone in this film is a great actor. And overall, there is a movie in there somewhere. And that cast deserves to be in that movie. Everyone who worked on Fantastic clearly wanted to be making that movie, but ultimately it wasn't. Did I make the movie they deserve to be in? To be honest, I can't tell. What I can tell you is that there are two different movies in one movie competing to be that movie. Is there a release the Trank cut? Doesn't matter. I'm not Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is a storied, iconic, legendary filmmaker who has been knocking it out of the fucking park since I was in high school. Me, then, I was 29 years old, making my second film in a situation more complicated than anything a second-time filmmaker should have walked into. That said, I don't regret any of it. It's part of me, and I just hope Peyton Reed makes the next Fantastic Four and crushes it, and then I get a cameo. Anyways, that's it. P.S. My girlfriend said I should have reviewed more of the film and less about myself. My answer is shrug emoji. So there you go.
There you go, all right.
I think that's a really insightful and...
Seems pretty reasonable, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that before. The studio system seems to be you make one tiny independent film mm-hmm. and then they give you... a ridiculous comic book movie that you're thoroughly unprepared for.
Yes, uh-huh.
And some people cave under that.
Yeah,
obviously.
And they say, do you have any good ideas for this? And they go, yes. And then they say, we're not interested in those.
Yeah, and you're fired.
Yeah, but give it a try. But then we're going to reshoot it. And yeah. then you're fired.
Yeah. But then you're going to be asked about it for the next 30 years. So.
Also, we slathered all the furniture in your house with meat. So if your dogs attack everything, that was us. You're fired.
So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, I hope he's back on Trank. And,
me too.
You know,
Gudunk.
Gudunk. Hopefully.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It is well on the way. In other news, Star Trek 4, Noah Hawley, who directed, who's behind Fargo and Legion, he's going to be working on that with the original cast. Not the original cast. The 2009 cast.
Oh, not William Shatner.
Which is now the 10-year-old cast, I guess.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Apparently it's separate from the Quentin Tarantino one.
Okay.
And probably will also be separate from the one that also had Chris
Hemsworth
in it.
Yes.
I went, my brain went Pine, Pratt, Evans. just looking for
it. You've got to spin the Russian roulette cylinder of Chris's in Hollywood and see which one you come up with. It's okay, we all forgive you. It's a real crapshoot sometimes.
It really is. So Noah Hawley,
from context, we all know what you mean.
I know, I could have said anybody.
There should be a Chris rule.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
It's like, you know that one with Chris in it? You'd be like, yeah, I do know that.
So he apparently did.
I loved Chris in Avengers Endgame.
Oh, so
I loved
good.
All of them. Yeah.
He did Lucy in the Sky, which was, you know, that one with Natalie Portman about the astronaut who.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Mental breakdown and whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Apparently people didn't like it very much.
Okay then.
Though I don't know if it's out yet. Is it out? No, it is. It's got 21% Rotten Tomatoes. That being said, he's made some of the best television in
Legion's
like,
great. I'm not Legion's up to date on that, but
I gotta
good.
Get up to date on that. Mm-hmm. And obviously Fargo every season has been excellent. So yeah, he seems as good a choice as any.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even with that movie that I haven't seen. Also, apparently they didn't put the bit where she put on a diaper and drove across country. Right. They left that out of the movie.
Well, that's the only...
That's the point!
Yeah, otherwise it's just, I'm floating through space and I'm sad about stuff. We've seen that many times.
We saw the Brad Pitt missing dad one.
We saw Matthew McConaughey missing his dad or kids one.
We saw Jodie Foster missing her dad.
Yeah. We saw Tom Hanks missing a vital component of his spaceship because it's a... Tumble out into orbit or whatever.
We saw Red Planet, whatever that one was.
Mm.
The one with Val Kilmer or maybe not with Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Was Red Planet and the other one was...
Ghost of Mars. Mission to Mars.
Ghost of Mars, Mission to Mars. Perfect.
Got to spin that wheel of space adventures. Vzz, click. It was Mission to Mars.
Mason just mimed shooting himself, everybody.
Just so I did, yeah.
You wanted
I mimed not shooting myself, I'm if sure. you don't mind.
Yeah. You ever seen Deer Hunter?
I mimed myself playing the odds.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen Deer Hunter?
Yes.
And?
I like Deer Hunter. I
can't remember whether I've seen it. I feel like it's one of those movies I might have seen like when I was 9.
You know, where, on the midday movie?
Yeah, just like on TV and you just watch it with your parents.
Yeah, right.
But I don't remember.
Okay.
Because I know that scene, obviously, but I might just...
Yeah. You might be thinking of a version...
From The Simpsons?
The Simpsons or like The Degeneration Late Show or something like that.
No, I could very well be. Uh-huh. You are not wrong. Are you excited for the Lord of the Rings prequel series?
Nope.
So much so that
what's it on? What channel's it on? What streaming service?
Its own thing, maybe. Oh, no, Amazon.
Its own streaming service.
Amazon.
Oh, then I'm a little more excited because that's one of the streaming services I have budgeted for. Yes.
So apparently, the second season is already it's happening, even though they haven't filmed anything of it as of yet. But Amazon have everybody's money and they're going all in on this thing.
Yep.
Is it a prequel to the other thing, to the movies or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say probably they'll work in elements of it, at the very least. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Do you think people are too late to this sword and sorcery situation now?
Maybe, but what if...
Does the next Game of Thrones need to be a thing that's similar to Game of Thrones? Can it be a different show?
I feel like
this... Like the Cybertruck, the show, animated.
My God.
Goes on adventures.
Yeah, it's Trucky the Cybertruck.
Those comments, are you
Maybe I get a feeling. Here's my hit prediction.
I love hit picks.
I think this one might be a bit more mundane. Like, it might be a bit kind of, like, less orcs and dragons and what have you, and more just kind of...
So Game of Thrones.
No, even less. Like, more just panning across, like, nice New Zealand vistas and...
I do like New Zealand.
And just walking, a lot of walking. Yeah. Like, I think maybe if they're doing a series, I think the criticism of this one will be, apropos of nothing, based on nothing I've seen or heard about this,
okay,
it's just going to be like, boy, there's a lot of low-key walking around, isn't there?
Well, that's what a lot of that movie was, a lot of low-key
but more
walking.
So.
But more so.
An hour a week.
An hour a week, yeah. Well, do you think it's one of those things they'll stretch out? Because I think The Mandalorian, if it's proved anything, which it hasn't, is that not everything needs to be an hour in length.
That's true,
The episodes, the first one was like 36 and then it was 30 and the last one was 38 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of that is credits and concept art at the end. Yeah.
I like that theme.
Me too.
I couldn't recall it for you for $1 million, but it's all...
You know it when you hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure I've got a tweet about this. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
Wow.
No, I do.
Oh.
So I was going to say this for later, but I'll do it now. We're talking about The Mandalorian. This is from Merchant on Twitter, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. Watch this week's The Mandalorian. This one has to count as a minigun, right? So without spoiling the episode, does it count as a minigun this week?
It looks a lot like a minigun. But the barrels don't rotate. They've cheaped out.
Yeah, I guess they don't need to on a laser gun, do they? Because why would it need to rotate? Because it's not bullets.
Well, that's not what a minigun does. That's for barrel cooling.
Is it really?
Yeah. So the minigun will only fire through like one barrel at a time, obviously.
Yeah.
But it all feeds into like the central line.
Right.
And that, because like your traditional single barrel gun, if you just keep firing it like 5,000 rounds a minute, it just melts. So it gives a chance for all the barrels to cool down.
So this one, it's got cool lasers then.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count.
I feel it. And when I first saw it, I'm like,
I did think
of
you.
Yeah. But then it's pew, pew, pew. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. But then it didn't.
Hey, look.
It had everything I liked.
I respect your convictions. Because it's not like, because you're looking for them. You're not out there not looking for one,
that's
are
right,
you?
Yeah.
You want to make it happen.
I'm not like one of those church guys who's always trying to disprove miracles. You know those guys, the church guys?
Yeah, really they're cool. Good.
Yeah. I'm a minigun
enthusiast.
Skeptic.
You're like one of those guys who, look, he's looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah,
he's pretty confident that he's not out there.
Well, I don't want to raise people's hopes, you know, false hopes.
But you give it a crack. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
If the barrels rotated, poof, it'd be right up there.
What a world.
Yeah.
I really like that episode though.
Me too.
About you?
We'll talk about it later. I think maybe in the Mandalorian segment with that Mandalorian theme.
Here's some news on Star Wars that got everybody upset. And I can also kind of understand why. Kathleen Kennedy went and spoke about the...
Oh, Kathleen, well, that's what it is. That's what set people off. Kathleen Kennedy said a thing or didn't say anything. You know what she's like? Sometimes she'll say a thing. Other times she'll remain suspiciously quiet.
Yeah, and that speaks volumes.
It speaks absolute volumes, doesn't
it? I'm not saying she hasn't made mistakes, as every major studio head has.
Mm.
Because, look, every movie's not a hit, is it? Obviously.
Fan Forstick certainly speaks to that, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. We did a video a while back on the history of Lucasfilm firings, and I just wish I didn't put it up.
Because
just like the feedback that I've got. Because, you know, people see her in this. Because I put her in the thumbnail. Because
people see her and immediately scream, get woke, go broke, is what happens ultimately.
But again, anyway, so she was talking about the creative process of creating this I should point out the Skywalker saga of films.
So,
right, so episode 7, 8, and 9.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
She says, every one of these movies is a particularly hard nut to crack. There's no source material. We don't have comic books. We don't have 800-page novels. We don't have anything other than passionate storytellers who get together and talk about what the next iteration might be. We go through a really normal development process that everyone else does. You start by talking to filmmakers who you think exhibit the sensibilities that you are looking for, and then you fire them. Out of that last bit. Thank you. But... yeah, that is obviously, people have pointed out, it's not strictly true, obviously.
Because there's so much source material, yeah.
And look, a lot of the Legend stuff is garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I would say 20% of it is probably readable.
So, look, what I like about this statement, though, is there is what I consider a very clear backhanded compliment or a diss at the Game of Thrones guys.
Oh, right.
Where it's like, well, we don't have 800-page novels to make it really
all
easy.
All we have.
Yeah, all, that's right.
Yeah, so, but I think that's, in relation to this new Skywalker saga, you couldn't do the novels, like, but I, still though, you should, I think, draw from this stuff, because there is good stuff in there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a mistake to discard it, but that being said, a lot of this stuff which is coming out, it does draw elements from the Legend stuff. I mean, Thrawn is back.
That's true, yeah.
There's things like that. There's a bunch of stuff that pops up, but that being said, they haven't taken a strictly good Legends thing and brought it back, which I think is just, that's an opportunity that they should absolutely take. And it surprises me that why create something new when you could at least take the bones of something that people love?
Yeah, right. Off that. Well, yeah. I don't know. I think no matter what you do, you're going to annoy a bunch of people. You know,
I mean, you should also create stuff new as well. I'm not saying you should strictly do that.
If they'd done the first spin-off sequel novels,
Heir
to the Empire, Dark Force Rising,
The Last Command,
right? If you'd just made those, there would have been people who were like, this is amazing and I love this and they've adapted these perfectly or whatever. And there would be people who are like, we saw this 20 years ago. We read these 20 years ago. We're not interested in the old
material.
Well,
that's the other thing.
But there's also people who'd be like, well, if we introduce, you know, Mara Jade or Luke Skywalker as an example, and then put them in different contexts, people would be like, why didn't you just do the Heir to the Empire?
The other two, the Last Command. Anyway, so I don't. Just get this Star Wars out of the way.
Just do one more Star Wars, then we'll take a tiny little break, if you don't mind, and then we can enjoy our holiday season with no more Star Wars for a minute.
I got so many Star Wars videos coming up, Mason, you wouldn't believe it. We got one this Thursday.
We
haven't recorded it yet.
Okay,
but
good.
Sal Crivelli...
is that a Star Wars character?
No, he's a guy, he does comic pop. He does a similar thing to Caravan of Garbage, except better, where he goes through like old comics, not even old comics, just series of comics or whatever. He's asked... I was going to save this for later, but we'll do it now. If you could save one thing from the original Star Wars EU, what would it be? So is there anything?
Oh, the stuff that's no longer canon.
Yeah.
Kyle Katarn.
Yeah, good choice.
But I guess we can't anymore.
Why not?
Well.
You could bring him back in
A
form.
That's true. Does Rogue One invalidate the first mission of the game Dark Forces where you steal the Death Star plans?
I guess it does.
But on the other hand,
unless you lose the mission like we did, in which case it doesn't.
That's true. Unless the Death Star plans got sent to another Imperial, like intercepted by another Imperial base, and then you went to get them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why is there only one? Make a copy. Why are they sending one?
Well, that's the technology they had available. It was a long time ago. You put everything on a big cassette. You either put everything on a cassette or a droid.
Yeah, that's right. You send it out there.
Or a dish. Well, those are your three options. Big satellite dish.
You know it. Mine is... sometimes
you get sent a transmission from a satellite dish to your satellite dish and you put it on a cassette.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I've got to carry this around. I wish I'd put it on a droid. Oh, I've got to go down the shops with this cassette.
It's like 80 pounds, this thing.
Oh, my God.
But you could do Kyle Katarn Jedi. You would, and
yeah, you
smuggler
could, that's
slash then
yeah,
Jedi.
Yeah, you could say, you could just have his backstory. You could modify with that or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does the prequel trilogies invalidate
Kyle Katarn?
Or prequel stuff? Because I can't.
That's the thing. George Lucas explicitly said, "Do not touch the Clone Wars."
Yeah, right.
So none of the canon stuff relating to the Clone Wars really is relevant to what he ended up making.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It's so vague.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. There's just a little bit of clones that show up and
yeah,
and hints towards stuff and I think originally it was like Monsters in the Outer Rim or something. I can't remember. There was a version that was floating around. I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah. But it wasn't the thing that it ended up being.
What would you like to see?
That thing that I've been working on for 100,000 years.
Oh, yeah, your magnum opus.
It looks like it's coming out next Sunday.
Oh, this is so exciting.
It's basically a 35-minute retrospective on Shadows of the Empire.
I spilled the beans.
Here, it's on. I've watched it so long. I'm like, is this anything?
Oh,
to
so
me, I'm like, this is so boring.
So this is what you want. Is you want a week's worth of positive affirmations about the thing you've spent months doing? Because if you just otherwise you're just never going to release
never
it.
Gonna
you have to commit to releasing it now, and then hope enough people tweet you going, that sounds good. Well, I just want to be the first to say that sounds good, James.
Thanks, Mason. Yeah. But basically, it's because it was a video game. It was a line of toys.
Yep.
It was a book. It was a comic. Mm-hmm. I've got a whole lot of animations made for this, like recreating scenes. And like Sal, who mentioned here, is doing some of the voices.
Cool.
There's some incredible 3D.
I said he was a Star Wars character.
You did
didn't
say
I?
That, didn't you?
Yeah.
So basically, it just kind of goes through that. And it was basically this, if people remember, it was just before the prequels. It was a movie launch without a movie. It was probably the biggest Star Wars project. It was the biggest Star Wars project since the originals.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was kind of ramping up to The Phantom Menace. So it was kind of a dry run for that. But anyway, this is coming out. That's coming out this week, next Sunday, I think. I'm going to, it's nearly ready, but I got to spend like a week, fine tuning it.
Yeah, I understand. Sure, sure.
Stuff like that. And then and then I still might miss the deadline.
You need a full day to pick out a really great thumbnail.
Yeah, I do actually, yeah. Mm-hmm, that's right. That takes longer than you'd think. For something I care about, you really got to think about it.
Right.
Can't just slap any old shit like I normally do, Mason.
I understand.
You get it.
I get it, yeah.
I should just put your face into going,
Yes.
And pointing to Shizor.
Yeah. Or I'm spinning an imaginary gun cylinder with assorted Star Wars characters in it.
Also, I should mention, I'll probably put some stuff about that up on Patreon, some early stuff.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But that's also where you can get the movie commentary for, and also on Bandcamp for the thing we talked about. Anyways.
We should get the guys who do those beautiful watercolors at the end of The Mandalorian, or the guys who do, you know, those beautiful painting, you know, Star Wars posters or whatever.
Yeah.
And just two idiots in a spare room doing a podcast.
In a bin.
Yeah, exactly.
Sitting in a bin.
Yep, exactly. Holding imaginary guns to their heads.
I bought so much Star Wars merch for that.
Oh, I'm aware.
You've seen it all.
Do you want to give a little tease of the main one?
Okay,
right.
They'll
see it, all right.
It's gross though, isn't it?
Yes.
All right,
it's George Lucas's poop. That's what it is.
You know, I was thinking this holiday season, what would be the perfect gift for family, friends, a significant other, myself even. What could I possibly get?
The most thoughtless gift of all, a handful of cash. Right?
I do love getting a handful of cash, don't get me wrong.
If you give somebody cash also, it's usually not enough cash. You know what I mean? But you know what you could get them? You get them a movement watch.
Perfect.
Doesn't cost you as much. Looks like $1 million.
You're not wrong, Mason.
I get so many compliments on my particular movement watches. People are like,
where'd you get that movement watch from?
Exactly, and I say movementwatches.com, which I'm assuming is the correct website.
Any particular watches that you have in mind?
Well, I've got some weddings coming up, so I thought, my own weddings, my multiple weddings, and I thought I should probably get some sort of classy dress watch for the situation.
I hear what you're saying.
And Movement has got me covered. There's this model called the 40, which is a very classy one, very minimalist.
That's so classy.
Very nice. I think I'm going to get this one because, you know, it's going to be in the daytime, so there's one that's got a nice brown leather band. It's got nice white dial. It's got a kind of rose gold case.
Oh, I understand that. I can appreciate it.
Just even my words.
I've got
are enticing, aren't they, James?
I've got the Chrono White Caramel in front of me. I can't describe it as well as you, but it's just a very nice looking watch.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can say words that relate to what it looks like.
Yes.
It's got a white face and a caramel band.
That's good stuff.
Is that good stuff?
Sounds delicious.
It is delicious, Mason.
You better watch out or I'll eat that right off your wrist. Nom, 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 nom.
Also, I've seen here you can also add a second strap. If you're like, oh, if I'm switching this up with a different outfit because I've got multiple of my own weddings coming
up. That's true, yeah.
We both have multiple weddings coming
up. It's the season of polygamy.
That's right.
What's going on. But yeah, and oftentimes with a lot of the movement watches, there's a very easy off function for the band. So you can just, you don't have to fiddle with a little tool
or take it to a guy
or whatever, or a bit of dental floss or whatever. You can just sort of Turn the switch, pop it out, put a new one in.
Brilliant. And the other thing is, movement watches start at just $95. It's clean design, minimal, and really quality products. We should point that out because they sell at a very reasonable price, but they have the build quality of a super expensive watch that an idiot would buy because it's so expensive.
Just because it's money, just because it's got a lot of zeros at the end.
Exactly.
Look, I got a bunch of watches from many brands, but realistically, most days I'll genuinely pick the movement watch first because I'm like, it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I'm like, that's versatile. I'll put that on.
This is happening.
What I'm wearing.
Well, that's not surprising that you've got so many, Mason, because they've sold almost 2 million watches in 160 countries. Be the big winner this holiday season with a gift from Movement and get 15% off with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. Not getting your holiday bonus until next week? You get a holiday bonus? I don't get a holiday bonus. You're not getting it till next week?
Who would give you a holiday bonus? Your wife.
Sure, yeah. But you want to order your watch right now? No worries. Movement offers buy now, pay later with Klarna payments.
Oh, yes.
Select Klarna at checkout and you can pay over time in 4 easy payments with no fees. So it's not like you pay a little bit now and then, you know, it's going to cost you an arm and leg in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
No fees.
No fees.
So that's mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. Join the movement. Also, they have great sunglasses and jewelry and things like that.
It's true. And some of those Everscroll sunglasses.
That's what I've got. I've got Icon Everscroll glasses. I wear them at night for the blue light. And they look terrific. On with the show?
Yes.
Terrific. Funny story, Mason.
I'm ready.
We're going to talk about Knives Out this week because I thought it was out in the US and various other parts of the world.
I got a lot of on the Facebook, the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, there were a lot of people being like, I saw Knives Out. And people were like, I saw it too. It's great. And we were like, we're going to get to some advanced screenings. Otherwise, we're going to miss the window.
Yeah.
Talking about Knives Out. Turns out it's not out in America till
like
later in the
other
week
places.
Anyway.
But it seems to be screening everywhere.
Yeah.
It turns
out.
But
also, I feel like, again, this is an original story and it's not a franchise and it's not a adaptation. It's from a controversial director.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, not really. But I mean, I enjoyed this movie and I would much rather kind of review it ahead of time and say people should probably see this.
That's a fair point.
Rather than... We do a review of it next week and people have decided not to see it opening weekend, you know?
That we will be solely responsible for this film's success.
I think so too.
What do you think the story was?
Oh, no.
I reckon we'll do it, but we won't do spoilers. Because then there's another thing we want to talk about.
That's true, yeah.
Because most people wouldn't have seen this.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think the story was?
What I'm going to do is I'm gonna write a note to myself.
I don't reckon we should even give away who the real lead is, I guess.
No, let's not.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a note to myself that says, no spoilers, idiot. And so every time I write... Every time I say something in this review, I'm going to look down, and if I did spoilers, I'm going to say, no spoilers, we should take it out.
I understand.
Idiot.
And then you're going to Russian roulette, but...
Yes.
All bullets.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All bullets.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think
the story
is?
The story, so it's a bloody old-fashioned-y, rollicking murder mystery.
Yes.
So it's a famous, rich... mystery writer called Harlan Thrombey, played by Christopher Plummer.
He's 1,000 years old if he's a day.
Absolutely.
And I was in The Sound of Music. He's been around
forever. Oh, my
forever.
God, he was. It's true, yeah.
Anyway, he's great.
He's great. And he, after a party at his lavish estate, where all his family have been invited, his estranged children and their even more estranged children, grandchildren, he winds up murdered. No, he winds up dead via an apparent suicide.
But maybe is it a suicide?
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Or is it a murders? He's 89.
Murder. Good for him.
He's playing younger in this movie.
That's true. He's 85 or something in this movie. Yeah, okay.
Terrific.
So we've got a cast of characters, any number of whom could have done it.
Yes.
And we've got figuring out the mystery. We've got Lakeith Stanfield, I think, as one of the police detectives.
Yes.
And we also have Daniel Craig as, what's his name? It's Benoit Blanc.
Yes.
He's like a southern private detective. He's been brought there under mysterious circumstances and he wants to solve this mystery. It's intrigued him.
Yes. But the thing is as well, it's if you like, I don't know, Murder, She Wrote, Poirot, British crime thrillers or whatever, Sherlock Holmes stuff. This is that, but I guess like Rian Johnson often does. It's like the bones of one of those.
And a little bit of a deconstruction of what's a standard murder mystery situation. Let's give it a couple of extra turns.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just good to see Daniel Craig in a suit that fits.
Oh my goodness, he looks so comfortable.
Oh my god,
he was so jovial.
Yes, right.
So I took my mum to this Saturday night on the town.
I recommended it to my mum.
Yeah, I was worried because
people would think you were dating.
That's right. Yes. I was... Because it's I read the thing and it's like it's PG-13 and they're swearing and drug use or whatever. Yeah. And my mum's not like she's been around the block. Don't get me wrong, Mason.
Excuse me.
not in that manner of speaking.
Oh, okay, right.
I'd hope, but you know she's you know she could watch stuff like this. But she loved this. Mm-hmm. And there's the funny parts that you may have seen in the trailer. She quite enjoys. There's a moment where Chris Evans tells everyone in the room to eat shit.
That's right.
Which she found incredibly.
I imagine
amusing.
Chris Evans is relishing the opportunity to play a character who isn't the absolute paragon of goodness. In every movie, kind of thing.
I love the bit where how he is with the dogs.
Right.
Because he even hates dogs in this. Yeah. He's great. But look, again, without kind of spoiling who's kind of ends up being the lead in this, the cast is amazing.
We got
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, we got his Thromby's three children. So Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon,
Toni Collette. No.
Michael Shannon and Don Johnson.
Who's married to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wait.
He's married into the family.
Yes, okay. So who are his three kids? Hang on. Let's start again.
Well, it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Michael Shannon.
Yep.
And Toni Collette's husband who's passed.
Oh, passed away, right, okay, this. Right.
And there's grandkids, one of them being Chris Evans.
Yeah.
One's like an alt-right Nazi troll.
Yeah.
One's like an SJW feminist or whatever.
Yeah, they're at odds, yeah.
They're at odds.
And so one, Jamie Lee Curtis is in real estate. Michael Shannon runs his father's publishing company.
Yes.
Toni Collette is like using family money to kind of run like a Goop-style wellness website.
Yes. And they've all got motives, as these things often are, for what ends up happened.
The night of the party gives everyone plenty of motives to knock the guy off.
Yes.
You know, whether it be for money or revenge or you know any number of things.
And if you've seen any of these or even any Rian Johnson stuff, you know that it's not going to take like the traditional kind of turn in these things because without getting into it, but there are twists and turns along the way, and there's information that's revealed kind of earlier on, which makes it very different from a normal one of these, I would say. But I just thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
And I guess it was also nice to see a murder mystery on that I thoroughly enjoyed and was kind of... And look, there's some ridiculous shit in here, as there is all murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because, you know, it's very complicated and the plot's like, why would anybody go to any
there's,
of these
Well, I mean, exactly. And there's some sort of elements in it where you go, okay, well, that situation would have had to... turn on a dime and run like clockwork in order to work. But, you know, that's it all makes sense ultimately in the end,
I think. Yeah, it does, yeah. And the things I thought about, I was like, does that add up? But then ultimately I don't care. Like it's one of those things where, and we'll talk about after this, but if the mechanics don't add up 100%, but I'm enjoying the ride, I'm not thinking about the mechanics of it, then I'm kind of okay with it. Because I think the characters are the draw here more than the mystery.
I think ultimately, though, the mechanics of the murder and the murder mystery or what have you, they all make sense, but you can't, like a lot of murder mysteries, there's from time to time, there's like info dumps, how things happen and like, well, this is how I think it.
Often hate that.
Yeah. But I think oftentimes there's a lot of information to take in,
and
it can be a little bit overwhelming, but I think ultimately it all makes sense.
Yeah. I think it flows enough where I didn't really have any questions when it finished. I wasn't like, wait a minute, but if he was there, how was that? Whatever.
And there's a mechanic established quite early on where Blanc will interrogate people and they will say what happened at, say, the party.
Mm.
And then we'll see a little flashback sequence of what actually happened and what they're concealing kind of thing. So that makes a lot of sense.
And I also enjoyed that because I don't like it when shows or movies do this where they show like, a fictionalized version of what might have happened.
Yeah, right.
Like when we imagine that person shooting the gun or whatever, but then it's not that person, you know. But it's, I don't think you need to necessarily do that.
Mm.
So the flashbacks in here are things that actually happened in the movie.
Yes.
I also really like there's a moment where the Daniel Craig character tries to bait Jamie Lee Curtis's character into rubbishing the family. She's like,
I'm not
so stupid that I'm not going to fall for that. Then it cuts to her husband and he's immediately, steps straight into it.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know, look, if you like murder mysteries, then I can't imagine you'd dislike this.
I mean, if you don't like murder mysteries, there's surely somebody in this cast that you like. Frank Oz makes a brief appearance.
Well, they worked together on The Last Jedi.
That's right. So he's
very good at this.
And he doesn't do a lot of live action acting.
No, he doesn't.
So clearly he had a good enough time setting bushes on fire in The Last Jedi to be in this movie.
He was quite funny in this and just like fed up with the awful nature of the family.
Yeah, because he's there. Pretty much the family lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know. I think it's also nice to see, like, a different thing. And it's not different in the sense of, like, I mean, we've seen this 1,000 times before.
Do we know if Rian Johnson wrote this?
I think he did, yeah.
Well, there you go.
But it's not, but yeah, it's just different than, I don't know, an action movie or a drama or a dramedy whatever. It's just, it's kind of, you know, it's just a very well done, you know, murder mystery.
Would you like to see more adventures in the Benoit Blanc canon?
Oh, yeah.
Me too, right? Yes.
And I think it's also shown to me that the strength of Rian Johnson is that he can step into a genre which he hasn't previously worked in and then construct something around it. I'm going to get that dog in because she's going fucking
okay,
ballistic.
Cool, right. Okay. Okay. Hello, dog. How are you?
She's doing good dog stuff.
Is she yelling at birds or possums or something?
I don't know. It could be the neighbor.
Yeah, right. Sorry, that being said, though, he does have some form in this area because, of course, Brick was a murder mystery.
But that's more a detective noir.
That was more a noir thing, yeah.
And there's like the wheels that are in motion in this are much more complex.
That is true. But also, and with the Brothers Bloom was also like a con artist kind of movie.
Fair point.
But I feel like they're all in that. This to me feels like his strength. Is it kind of, you know, it's a forgotten genre, but it's just good writing. It's kind of like. Yeah. You know, he's in that wheelhouse of I was going to say Nick Nolte, but Christopher Nolan.
Nick Nolte, yeah.
Just Christopher Nolan, his brother, kind of.
Yes.
Just producing a solid script.
Yeah.
Just an intriguing script.
And making that movie.
And running with it.
So
yeah.
Then I'm also kind of like, would I rather see him make stuff like this than do a Star Wars trilogy and then have him be yelled at?
Yeah, right.
Every day on Twitter for the rest of life. Because apparently that, like the trolls in. That he's experienced on Twitter kind of informed some of the work in this.
Oh yeah, for
and
sure.
And you can kind of see that, and you know, because there's like one of the grandsons who gets zero play really is like an alt-right.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, he's the main character from it.
He's the guy with the stutter.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of politics in there.
There is a little politics.
It's a little on the nose of like just it's pretty much a conversation about like immigration and whatever, but. Those are things that I agree with, so it doesn't really bother me.
It's pretty
cool to hear. But I can understand, you know, just be careful. Trigger warning, Mason, I guess.
Yes.
But we thought, because we're not going to spoil this, why don't we talk about something else,
okay,
Mason?
Before we do that, I'd probably say best movie ever. I think if you get a chance to see it opening weekend, I probably would recommend it. Because I guess the only reason that Rian Johnson can continue to make these movies is kind of, you know, the juice from Star Wars, you know, that Last Jedi, love it or hate it, made $1 billion or whatever.
Yeah.
And so now movie execs are just like, well, he's a guy who makes money. Let's give him more money for this. So I would like to see this not be a horrendous flop.
And I guess Looper is also like, you could say it's got Looper juice because people like Looper. Speaking of.
Oh, yes.
I've got a question for you. It's from Wesley Walker. It says, I haven't watched Avatar since it came out in 2009 and didn't really think much of it for years. But since me and my friends are going to the theme park next month, we decided to watch it and I enjoyed it a lot this time around. Have you ever turned around this much on a movie? Now, I pose this question to you, Mason.
Yes.
Because you famously are not a fan of the movie Looper.
The movie Looper,
in 2012.
Yep.
It's got JGL. It's got Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. It's got Emily Blunt. It's got a kid I've never seen anything else.
It's got that guy who's in, it's Paul Dano.
Paul Dano's in it. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Playing a snivelling idiot. Yeah,
that's right.
His classic role.
Yes.
God, he's good at being a snivelling idiot.
I know, right?
He's one of the best. Mm. We decided, because we need something else to talk about.
Sure, right.
Otherwise, this would be over.
I mean, on the podcast and also in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we'd both give Looper a rewatch.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson's Looper,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I rewatched both Looper and The Brothers Bloom.
Oh, you got both?
I still haven't seen Brothers. You should. It's on Stan in
That's
Australia.
Okay. I looked up Looper. I'm like, I bet this is on nothing. It's on everything.
It is, yeah.
I thought, well, now it's not because we've mentioned it out loud.
It's been cursed now. I'll say some positive things about Looper.
Okay. Do you want to say what the story of Looper is?
Oh, my God.
We're going to spoil Looper.
We're going to spoil Looper, this movie from 2012.
What would you say if you haven't seen Looper, you should watch Looper?
I would like to know what people think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's So it's set in two time frames in the future, the year 2044 and then 30 years later. And so in the 30 years, in the future, time travel's been invented.
Yes.
But because it's too dangerous, it's been made illegal. Mm. And if you make something illegal, only criminals get it, obviously.
Cigarettes,
exactly. Mm. And apparently in this future, you can't get away with murder, but what you can get away with is abduction and making people disappear in one warehouse.
Yes.
So what criminals do is if they want to get rid of somebody, they kidnap them and they put them in a time machine and they time travel them back to 2044 where they have employed people of that era, loopers, to just shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, so a looper is just hanging out in the year 2044 and then a person just appears in front of them in like a field on a blanket or whatever.
And they shoot them.
And then they uncover the pieces of silver that have been strapped to their back as payment and then they burn the body.
Yes.
And then there's no murder in the future, and there's no person who existed to be murdered in the past. So technically no crime was committed except for that murder.
I mean, now that you say it out loud, there are obvious flaws in this.
Well, exactly. I tried to track this down. On Rian Johnson's website while the movie was out, there was like a 3 or 4 page sort of script treatment.
Okay.
It's kind of a short story that just sort of detailed the rough outlines of Looper, and it wasn't as detailed, and it didn't outline as many rules, and and there wasn't.
Well, they do hand wave a lot of rules in this.
Yeah,
there's a literal hand wave moment where they're sitting down and they're like, "We should talk about time travel." It's like, "I'm not talking about time travel. Yeah, we're gonna talk about time travel all day."
Yeah, so and that is quite compelling. I really enjoyed that, but it's not on his website anymore, and I couldn't track it down. Okay. But if somebody has it. Somebody screenshot it or something. Send it to me.
Set us on a data drive.
Or
a droid.
Put on a data drive or a droid. But what also happens is that if yourself from the present, the present future, survives to the future, well, those criminals want to get rid of you too.
Yes.
So they send
the band.
Yeah, exactly. Now they'll survive till 2074.
Oh my god.
Just the edge.
They're going to incept our iPods again.
That's right. So what they will kidnap the future looper and send them back to be killed by their own past self.
Hence closing the loop,
that's right.
And that's why it's called closing the loop.
Closing the looper. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the strength of this is definitely the story and the characters.
The story and the characters, the performance. Bruce Willis isn't phoning this in for the most part, I think.
Is it the last time he did this?
Might be the last time he acted
in
a
thing. The one where he fought James McAvoy, but he sort of phoned that last one in, didn't he?
I 100% phoned that last one in. I think this Rian Johnson sold this to him as, you're not an action hero in this. Like, there's action, but you're not John McClane just punching people and running.
You get to grow out that horseshoe hairline.
That's exactly right. But he's doing well in this. So it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays the young looper.
Yes.
Bruce Willis. Places,
but they don't look much alike. So how do they fix that?
They don't really do that. Big prosthetic nose, and there's a montage sequence where it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, JGL going through time, JGL in the, you know, getting older and older, and then just one quick cut. JGL gets slightly longer hair, and then it cuts to Bruce Willis with that hair,
and it's hard.
It's a hard left turn, is what it is.
I think they should have done a bigger jump. Just have it with shorter hair.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Or just the same outfit.
Just the same outfit.
Yeah, just the same, like, I heart Kansas t-shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks good.
On the budget.
Was it cheap? It was like $40 million or something.
Something like that, yeah.
It's got an aesthetic. Rian Johnson's clearly gone, okay, well, it's the future, but it's not.
$30 million.
Yeah, there we go. It's even cheaper. It's clearly gone, okay, well, what happens now is people have a reverence for the past and things are trendy. And so, these loopers who are kind of like, you know, they're wild men on the edge. They're also kind of fashionable, but the fashion is, I guess, it's sort of a mishmash.
50s-ish.
Yeah, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt drives like a Mazda MX-5 from like 1999 or something like that, and that's like his sexy sports car kind of thing, yeah. Uh-huh.
But in reality, it's probably the cheapest sexy car they could get for the movie.
Side note, there's a great recurring gag in The Brothers Bloom.
Mm.
We don't have to talk about it, but like the movie itself, but there's a recurring gag. So it's It's Adrian Brody and Mark Ruffalo as kind of con artists, and their goal is to con super rich lady played by Rachel Weisz. And there's a running gag where she drives a yellow Lamborghini that she keeps wrecking, and then the next scene is like a truck delivering another Lamborghini to her. So she crashes it in a wall, and there's another one. She drives it off a cliff. She crashes it in a post. They just keep bringing in new Lamborghinis.
That's great.
And it's like clearly they've like in retrospect, it's just like they've just like taken a panel off and moved it slightly to the side,
yeah,
and
right,
then they
yeah,
just
yeah.
put it back on and for the next
totally,
scene.
But
it's
that's
a,
pretty great.
It's a fun on a low budget.
I need to watch Brothers Bloom.
You should watch Brothers Bloom. But yeah, Looper.
The other thing is, I remember you having a big old bitch about. Well, yes. I really like this movie. I should point that out. That there are too many sci-fi elements in this at play that don't mesh.
You know what? I side note as well. You're right.
No, you're right.
I'm right.
You said.
You're right in saying that I'm correct. Jeff Daniels is also great in this.
Yes, he is.
He's a crime boss from the future who's been sent to the present day future to kind of deal with the Loopers and deal with their pain.
And he has knowledge of the
future
events obviously.
And what have you. But he's kind of...
I thought that the guy that he hates in the crew, because there is this fan theory that's him from the past.
Yeah, right. Blue is his
but
name.
But Well, it's never confirmed or denied, but... Uh-huh. I assumed that was...
Yeah.
Because also when you injure somebody in the past, that then reflects on them in the future. So if you cut your arm and you scar, then that person in the future will get that. Because there's a moment where he hits his hand with a hammer.
See, this is what I'm talking about. So none of these elements are present in the original script treatment.
Yeah, right.
Like the mechanics weren't fully worked out. It's just like, okay, well, I've been sent to kill a guy and it turns out it's me from the future and he's revealing the events of his future and there's a woman you fall in love with and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of... Like that is quite good. But
yes.
The idea of like, well, you can't if you kill someone in the past, in order to kill their future self,
yes,
that will destroy the timeline utterly. That'll ruin everything.
Unless,
but if you dismember their body and keep them alive somehow,
that's fine. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess, but even then, like,
what are they putting back together afterwards?
I don't know.
So, because Paul Dano's character fails to kill his future self.
Yes.
And so...
They mutilate him.
Yeah, they kidnap him.
By the way, that is a horrific body horror scene.
I skipped it.
Did
you
really?
I skipped it this time around, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know how they did it, but there's a moment where he's walking back to the warehouse.
Yeah.
To kind of...
The old version.
The old version. And his legs just disappear from under him.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But he's wearing pants, so the pants kind of crumple as he falls.
Yeah,
to the
right.
And I honestly have no idea how they did it.
Yeah, probably springs.
Probably springs.
Mm. I also like that the... time travel effect is the most low-tech effect that's ever been seen. People just pop
into
existence.
Is there even a noise?
I don't think there is. Oh, no, I don't think there is. I think if there is a noise...
I guess it's also a time and space machine, is it?
Well, see, that's the major issue that I have with it, is that you can go from... The machine enables you to go 30 years back in time. Did we do a Looper-ish episode? We didn't.
It's 2012.
Unless we did.
Unless we did.
That if you go back, you can send somebody from, say, Shanghai, China to Kansas 30 years in the past. Why do you need a looper? Like, there's no reason. Again, the addition of these mechanics.
Yes, you could drop them into a volcano.
Drop them into the bottom of the ocean, shoot them into space.
Yeah.
You know.
If it is a time and space machine.
Well, it's got to be. Shanghai to Kansas. How else is
that
working?
Is he in Shanghai or do they, like, we don't.
Oh, is he moved back to Kansas? Yeah. But... Yeah,
You might be right. I'm just asking.
I
don't know. The other thing is, though, the other sci-fi element is that there is telekinesis.
Yes.
Which doesn't play a big role until it plays the biggest role.
Which I kind of felt maybe would have been explained by the time travel, but it never is. It's just two separate incidents.
It's just a mutation.
It's just some people have a mutation to give them a small amount of telekinesis.
Yeah.
And there's a time machine.
Yes.
But they never sort of time together.
But I guess, so, but that leads into, and I think... You could have maybe worked around this that the Bruce Willis's ultimate goal is to kill the guy who's called the Rainmaker.
Rainmaker, yeah.
Who's basically the crime lord of the future.
The future.
And it turns out that it's Emily Blunt's son from the year 2044 or whatever it is. So he's going back to kill that person.
Yeah, and he's a incredibly powerful telekinetic kid.
Yeah.
He's the most powerful.
Most people can just levitate coins, but this kid can like take all the blood out of your body.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
And what I found interesting watching this again from when the last time I did it, which was probably 2012 or maybe a bit after, is that, well, since then, for lack of a better expression, as a father, Mason.
Oh, no.
It was one of those things I remember at the time being like, I wonder if I could shoot this kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And now
it's that—it's the kid, would you kill future Hitler kind of situation.
And but I don't. I probably couldn't. I'd imagine in 2012. That being said, like it took on a whole different kind of perspective.
That would be interesting if you're like in 2012. I definitely could have. I'll shoot this kid. Line up 10 kids. I'll shoot them all. I don't care.
But I can't imagine a scenario where, like, what kind of scenario would you put in front of me to make that
a reality? You shoot a kid, right.
But also, the other part of it was that there's a moment where the kid, like, when he gets mad, he, like, explodes things and his mum is afraid of him. Uh-huh. And there's a moment where he, like, breaks at the end and they have, like, this moment and he realizes that's his mum and whatever. And that, like, really affected me. And the first time I watched it, I was like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But this time I was like, holy shit, yeah, this is so, yeah, that's... I guess it shows that I'm a weaker man than I was 7 years
ago. That's true. Your child has weakened you. You're a shell of your former self. And so the kid becomes the rainmaker because
Bruce Willis kills his mother.
Yeah, that's right. Uh huh.
And I think Emily Blunt in this is great. And I think
she's in a separate movie in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways, yeah. But it's also like it's interesting because I think the first time I watched it, I was, you know, you kind of identify more with the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character, I guess, because. You know, I was probably would have been around that age, and I was also killing people.
That's right.
That was
my
job before I did this. But it was one of these things where, like,
and you were developing that floppy hair.
That's right. Like, if I was her, like, I'd kill 1,000 Joseph Gordon-Levitts or Bruce Willis's to protect this kid, even if he was going to be this thing.
Yeah,
because
right.
if you stay alive, then maybe you can stop him from becoming that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the point of the movie, I guess. But it's also left up in the air that maybe this kid still goes bad. We don't really know. I mean, the future has changed, but to what end?
Yeah.
You know? Also, there's a truck flip in it.
There is a truck flip.
Might have been the last of its kind.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's a good one, though.
No, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, why would you send dear Looper to kill you? Why would you send the future Looper to... Why would you send them back to themselves?
You wouldn't. No.
And there's so many... And again, I get it. You know, it's a... The idea is they kill... Whenever you send somebody back in time, they're wearing a hood and they're in a straitjacket and you can't tell who they are, and so you kill them or whatever. And, it's always the revelation that your chosen profession ultimately has doomed you kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, and you know it's the future version of you and you get gold to retire on kind of thing. But it's a bad system. Like, even if it is a time, you know, even if you can't time travel somebody into a volcano or whatever, it has to be... You know, on land or whatever.
Yeah.
There's so many ways that the person you've sent back in time could just be like, it's me, don't kill me. It's you from the future. Don't kill me though.
Yeah.
There's some, like the Paul Dano's character is tricked by his future self because the future Paul Dano sings like a song from his childhood and he's like, oh yeah, that's right.
I see.
Why doesn't everybody do that?
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good question.
And also, how can you get away with, how is it you can't get away with murder in the future? But you can't get away with abducting somebody and sending them through time.
Yeah, but they don't even explain why you can't get away with murder. Or is that explained on the website where, like, everyone's got, like, a DNA
Ryan Johnson explained it after the movie came out. Apparently there's, like, nanotech tracking stuff in people's blood. So if you die, it sends out an alert to the authorities.
But if you disappear,
it's fine, I guess.
But surely the authorities would wise to that.
The authorities would be like, why do people keep going into this one warehouse and never come out again? You know?
Yeah, it's a good question. But I also, like, we don't really know what kind of future it is. And I feel like, and the movie kind of makes a case for this, that the people who are these loopers, they're pawns. They're not, no one really cares
about them. No, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I think maybe that's an element of it where they're just being used and the system sucks because they suck and who cares?
Absolutely, yeah. Ultimately, it doesn't seem like the world is that much worse off. They wouldn't be that much worse off if all the loopers were destroyed kind of thing. It's a very closed system that they live in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the Rainmaker's getting up to. Maybe he's doing big time crimes.
He's got a glass jaw and a telekinetic hat or whatever.
He does have both those things, yeah. Well, that's a nice callback to, or a nice, like...
With the scar on his
chin. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. That kid's really good in this. What else is he in? I don't know. Anyway, they also seem to have invented wireless earbuds.
They did, that's true, yeah.
Or maybe they were around then. I don't think they were. They were definitely wireless headphones in 2012, but they've come a long way, haven't they, Mason?
Absolutely, they have. Yeah. And they invented the 2000 Mazda MX-5.
And the hover bike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm. One more thing I want to say about this is I think the action is good. It's, like, brutal and short and, like, not extended. It's just, like, there's a moment where there's a showdown between one of the henchmen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and it's just... on like one patch of road and it goes for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, right.
It's not like extended. I mean, there is an extended shootout, but it's not all that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I think this movie does a really interesting job, maybe not necessarily of like the time travel and the mechanics and the telekinesis stuff.
Yeah.
But like Elysium, where it hints at a larger world mm-hmm. and a larger organization and in this crazy alternate future, but we don't see that.
Yeah.
But I think that's good because that to me makes a world feel more real.
Yeah.
You don't over-explain every little thing that's going
on. For sure, yeah. I mean, you have to figure that the people in those universes aren't explaining. They're not. Yeah. They understand. They're not explaining the universe they're in to everybody else. You know.
So, would you say you enjoyed it more than the first time? Even,
I would say I enjoyed it more. I'm even more forgiving of the scene that you mentioned earlier, the diner scene where JGL and Bruce Willis are having the conversation, and Bruce Willis says, I can't explain to you the time travel because we'd just be here talking about time travel.
Yeah.
But he does go into a little bit more detail about how his memories are are foggy and they become clearer or more foggy depending on...
When JGL makes a move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all in all, it's a movie.
It is
I really like it.
You
and
would.
I need to watch that other one that you mentioned.
Please do.
Do you know what it's time for, though?
Is it time for what we're reading / what we're going to read?
Yes.
Nice.
I'm doing the thing. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
To What We Reading / What We Gonna Read.
Yeah.
The show where we talk about what we're reading, what we're gonna read. What are you reading?
Oh, is this a separate show?
Or what
are you spinning this off?
Yeah,
are you gonna spin this off without me?
Absolutely, I am.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna run an ad on it and give you no money from it.
Wow. And while I talk, it's just the noise of the parents make on Peanuts. You know, we talked last week. We were like, we didn't have anything to talk about because we were watching other things and playing video games or whatever. Rick and Morty came back.
I wrote that exact thing down.
Yeah, right.
What do you think?
Good, great.
Couple in, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to beat into the ground the Rick is the saddest man in the universe thing?
I hope not. They kind of really, we got a full season of that, right? At least.
But the way that the last episode ended was like, he's so lonely and he's a loser and all that kind of thing. And I'm like, are we going to do this every few episodes?
How many more seasons have they promised, I wonder?
I think we've got at least 3 or 4 down the line.
Okay, right.
Anyway, other than that, it's really great.
It is good. Like the first episode especially, I feel like it really set a tone of like, it's so meta-commentary, this especially the first episode where it's like, some of these are going to be regular adventures and some of these are going to be an extended plot and sometimes we're just going to be having fun and sometimes it's going to be Morty's adventure.
Yes.
And, you know?
Do you think am I going to get the return of Evil Morty in the weird Rick and Morty dimension or whatever?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I would like to see that resolved.
Yes. I agree. Anyway, it's good to have it back. And I think there's 3 more this year. By the time this goes out, there'll be 2. And then they're going to do the next 5 next year. Is there anything else that you've been dipping your toe in?
Let me check Netflix real quick.
Open up my bloody comiXology, mate.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't read it yet, but Doomsday Clock, final issue is out.
Is it?
Yep, it's out.
I don't think it is.
Is it not?
I think it comes out December 18th.
Does it?
I don't know, man.
I've just seen assorted links and tweets that are like, it's done, baby. Maybe they're previews. I don't know.
There's a Batman White Knight. It's got a spin-off called Von Freeze, which is basically a Victor Von Freeze spin-off.
I see.
But set within the White Knight universe, which I quite like.
Oh, I got to finish up The Good Place. That's done for the...
There's one more.
Oh, man,
great show.
Way behind.
It's doing really well.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot. That's very lucky that you've got so many.
I know.
It's a really good, strong season. Yeah, there's one more this Friday. It comes out on Netflix every Friday. Or here it does. Who knows what other platform it comes out on.
Yes.
Other places of the world.
When's Doomsday Clock coming out?
Let me check my nose.
Okay, Superman versus Dr. Manhattan, finally in Doomsday Clock, number 12, first look, one day ago.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, right. Well, then I'm...
You're a real piece
of crap.
Then
I'm not watching it, am I? Or not reading it, am I?
No.
Final Orders due November 2. When's it out, though? God damn it.
The thing is
in shops December 18th. Yeah, you were right.
I said that. That's the first thing I said in this episode. I said it up top. I said December 18th. Maybe I'll edit that back in to the very start of the show. that's what we're reading then, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Let's do that next
letters,
part.
Let's do the letters
there.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Right now, we're
going to
do
that. Ho, 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 Mason.
Ho,
Merry
ho,
Christmas.
Indeed. Thank you.
I've already done a few of these within the episode. It's good to find some stuff that I can pepper throughout the show. But this is one from Jeremy Miller. By the way, if you want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Jeremy says, with all the Snyder Cut talk, do you think we'll ever see an R-rated cut of Venom? Does anyone want the R-rated cut of Venom? That's the question.
What more could we get out of it, I wonder?
I think also because it did well.
Yes.
And I don't think it was universally hated.
Yes.
Even though I don't think it's very good.
Again, you're just reading poster quotes. It did well. Wasn't universally hated, even though I didn't like it.
I didn't think it was good. But yeah. So I don't think so. Maybe down the line we'll get like an R-rated cut.
Yeah. I mean, they were always looking for more stuff to put on the Blu-ray or whatever. Sure. So.
Well, Disney Plus, actually, one of the interesting things it does is it has puts special features in some of the stuff. Like there's all the Endgame deleted scenes in the extras and
Ooh. There's
some making of stuff. Because we're doing that, recording the commentary for the USB track. I've been watching through and reading some trivia and stuff to get ready for that. But so that's interesting. So I don't know whether that's gonna all go the way of the dinosaur Mason.
Yes.
So no, Jeremy, in answer. Okay, cool. What have you got? What's your thing?
Look, this is we can segue into another of our famous segments. This is from Josh Munro. He says, Watchmen Episode 5 themes.
I love themes. Spoilers, I guess.
Yeah. Let's see. I noticed something with the latest episode of HBO's Watchmen that reminded me of the graphic novel and wanted your thoughts. Specifically, the fact that this is Episode 5 out of 9, the halfway point. The episode focused on the Looking Glass. This is a possible testament to the concept of symmetry.
I love symmetry.
Symmetry is also used in the original graphic novel, coincidentally, in the 5th issue, which focuses on Rorschach, because his face.
His face symmetry, yeah.
Yeah. Just wondering if you caught the thematic usage of symmetry in the show. To be clear, I did not.
I don't catch anything ever.
No, I don't catch anything, but I like, that's a great episode. If we can talk spoilers for Watchmen Episode 5.
Sure.
This is the episode focusing on Tim Blake Nelson's he just did a iconic roles thingy on YouTube.
I haven't watched that yet.
It's good. Yeah,
but he's a terrific actor.
He won a Grammy
for So Brother We're Out There.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good episode. I liked.
We got the squid flashback back for real.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't realize until somebody pointed out to me on Twitter. I think or something.
The people in this future don't know that. The people in this future still think it's real.
Yes, well, that and that he was in a hall of mirrors, which is why he didn't die.
It protected him, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm such an idiot. So I'm talking about, I don't catch anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so the reason we learn that the reason Looking Glass wears his Looking Glass mirror mask is because he believes that, or maybe it's true, but he believes that the metallic element in the mask protects him from psychic attack and squid.
I think it may be true to an extent.
It might be true. Yeah. He did survive the... He survived the initial squid attack. So he begins his life, his origin in that he was quite a religious kid in kind of a Mormon sort of mission.
Like upbringing mission, whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
and he's gone. He goes to Hoboken, New Jersey to kind of attempt to convert some sinners at a fun fair.
Mm.
And he gets lured into a
hall of sexy lady.
A sexy lady. And then while he's in there, the squid attack happens and everybody's killed.
That's right.
So...
Also, if that was me and I was in there and had all my clothes stolen and I was standing there nude.
Yeah, what would you do?
And then there was a giant squid attack. I'd be a little bit relieved that I didn't have to walk out naked.
Yeah, right. But you wouldn't know. You'd only know right at the threshold. You'd be like, oh, this is going to be bad. How do I explain this to the rest of the brothers?
Yeah.
And you get out there and be like, oh, thank God. Whew, all right, sick.
Anyway, I need to build a bunker.
Yeah, right.
I think that was my favorite episode, Tim Blake Nelson episode.
Uh-huh. They've kind of, I feel they've, at this point, I think they've eased us into the weirdness.
Yes.
Like the first couple were just kind of, you know.
What if it's sort of the 80s?
Yeah, police drama and there's some people in masks. But but by 5 we're like squid attacks and.
Yeah. Squid looks good on the big screen.
Yeah, right?
I mean, not the big screen. A biggish screen.
A biggish screen.
Bigger than our a biggish, comic book.
Yeah, exactly. Our biggish screens. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's only 9 as well. It's not 10.
Yeah, you said 9.
Did you say that?
I did.
Already?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
No problem.
Do you want to say anything about The Mandalorian? Do you want to spoil that?
Oh, let's do Mandalorian talk as well. Hey, look, there's a letter about The Mandalorian. But prior
we
to
do
that,
get a lot of like thoughts on that's Baby Yoda and stuff.
Speaking of The Watchmen still.
Yes.
So he's on one of the moons of Saturn?
Seems to be.
Ozymandias?
Or something like
Jupiter,
that.
Jupiter, right.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah.
And it's also he knew that, obviously. Like he knew he was there.
Well, that's what his experience had been leading up to, an attempt to escape this prison. But again,
must be a Dr. Manhattan prison.
I guess so, yeah. Well, my thoughts initially were it's psychic, but if he's literally on Jupiter.
I think he's literally on Jupiter.
Or a moon of Jupiter.
Yeah.
But also, why I don't understand
the children in the lake.
Yeah, why is he bringing babies out of a lake and then bringing them back?
And he also says that he doesn't make them.
Yeah, right.
Like they're clearly a creation of whoever put him there.
Yeah.
Slash, it's Dr. Manhattan.
It's such a weird thing for Doc, but I'm sort of fascinated as to why.
Maybe it isn't Dr. Manhattan then.
Maybe there's somebody else with these powers.
Another being in the universe.
Because why would he? That's not anything that he's ever created. Has he gone mad?
Maybe.
Probably.
But he can't. We know he can make structures in life.
Yeah, right.
Because he even talks about the end of the Watchmen comic book.
Yeah, he'll create some.
Maybe he'll go to another universe.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Life.
Yeah, okay, maybe that's it. I mean, but, you know, it's he's had several decades to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which also, to him, is an infinite amount of time.
Cool.
So, but yeah, I was sort of under the impression throughout this series that people already knew the Ozymandias's squid attack was a ruse, but apparently not. But does Laurie Blake know?
I think she must. Well, she was there.
Yeah, she was there. Yeah, right.
So I guess she does.
Yeah.
She's great as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's a conspiracy theory. I think some people probably, because of Rorschach's diary, because Rorschach's diary got out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think some people take it as gospel and some people take it as the ravings of
the lunatic. What is interesting about this episode especially is because a lot of conspiracy theories are like, well, you know, it's because George Soros funds all the whatever, the Black Lives Matters group or whatever.
A lot
of it is kind of like it's based on bigotry. Like a lot of conspiracy theories are like, well, it's because these people want you to, you know, whatever.
They've got all the money.
Yeah,
and whatever.
But in this instance, it's this TV series has a crazy white supremacist group
who
are also right. Like that's a weird, that's an odd take, I feel
that.
Like.
You're
it's
right,
it's
yeah.
you know, it's... It's.
I mean, people can be two things, aren't they?
Well, that's true, and I mean, it doesn't seem to have made a judgment call either way. But I think it's interesting that most conspiracy theories are that.
But I also wonder I don't know whether the main people behind the conspiracy, like the governor or whatever, he doesn't see himself for like that. Like
no,
they're lackeys to him.
He's claimed that he's taken control of them.
I think
to serve his purposes.
Yeah, they're a means to an end for him.
Yeah.
And I think he probably has like a larger Ozymandias style plan that he's kind of. Moving into place.
Oh, Ozymandias.
Ozymandias. Because I think he's seeing the works of Ozymandias and he's doing an extension of that.
Anyway, this series, so far I've enjoyed it a lot and I hope I'm not being tricked by David Lindelof.
I hope we are.
I hope we're not though. Oh my God, how many cliffhangers is he going to leave us on at the ninth episode?
So many.
So many cliffhangers.
This is from...
I hate it.
This is from Buckets 330.
Ooh.
What do you all think about Baby Yoda's true purpose? I think...
Spoilers for The Mandalorian. But at this point...
Yeah.
Oh, but that happened last week as well, so it's fine.
We have a video on it
where
we talk
true.
About it. And that video was before episode 3 came out.
And this is inescapable. This Baby Yoda at this point is inescapable,
It hasn't changed. Mm. I know it's inescapable because Jon Favreau tweeted out concept art. And I'm like, well, then I can put this in a thumbnail or whatever. But people aren't complaining to me about it, so I know it's I know it's okay.
Ben Jenkins of our friend over at Dragon Friends,
yes.
He tweeted that... The Mandalorian, in a lot of ways, is very similar to a video game. Because there's a lot of collecting resources and going on fetch quests and getting your armor recrafted and upgraded. And I'm not hating it so far. I think maybe it's because it's so short.
Yeah. I think this would I saw a case for this would play differently if they released it all at once. And
then
it would be gone. Like
it's
out there and then it disappears, which seems to be the case for a lot of streaming shows that dump all at once. Mm. But this is now staying in the public consciousness week to week. What's Baby Yoda going to do? Oh my God, did you see the whatever? So people are like the way Game of Thrones used to work.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
People are living these moments together.
Yeah, very canny.
Unfolding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think they're going to have little adventures. What do you think? Little adventures?
Him and Yoda. Yeah, little
on
adventures.
On the run.
Yeah. Do you think Yoda's ever going to talk? Do you think he can already talk?
No, he might be able to. He's older than I thought, or she.
Yeah.
Because can walk and feed itself or whatever.
That's true, yeah. Eat frogs.
Eat frogs. But yeah, I don't know. Mm. So the most important thing to remember is that watch The Mandalorian, Disney Plus, every Friday. Hit us up, dogs.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Is that what's happening?
Are we
being sponsored by Disney Plus?
I would love to take some of that Disney Plus
money.
Me
too. Just give us our $8.99 back.
Have we done a Disney sponsorship? I don't know if we have. Must have.
We did that Iron Fist sponsorship. Does that count?
I guess it's technically Disney. That was more Netflix.
It was Netflix. Yeah. And what did you think of the finale action sequence with all the good. Mandalorian showing
it,
up.
It felt very... it was interesting because Deborah Chow directed that episode. I think this is my favorite episode. Mm-hmm. I think I said that for the second episode as well. Right. But she's doing the Obi-Wan series.
Ah,
so okay. There were some things of like, well, this is clearly just like because she's a woman and whatever. And this is... That's why she's got cast. But maybe she's also an excellent director.
Maybe.
And maybe that's why she was cast.
But her silence speaks volumes, yeah. Doesn't it?
So, I mean, this episode is a clear demonstration that this is a very good person to get for the. Yeah, I mean, right. Who knows how anything turns out?
Yeah,
until it's out.
But plenty of disintegrations for you.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
Big time.
Just, I think they're even wetter than ever, to be honest.
I guess if I had a complaint of the show, it's that why hasn't anybody strangled that baby yet? That's my one complaint. But my second complaint is Mason.
5 minutes ago, you were like, "Oh my god, I can't imagine anyone ever harming a child." And then you're like, "I'd strangle this baby."
Well, it's green. It's not like me.
Yeah, that's true.
But
it's got your bloody ears, though, mate. It's got your bloody ears, mate. I tell you what.
Is it a bit trope heavy of like the what's his name? The Carl Weathers character gets shot, but he's got the Beskar where his heart is, so he survives. And
no, I think that's very in line with this.
I agree, but do you think that could become too like cliche? And I know Star Wars is nothing but cliche. Yeah. It's like old west cliches in space. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just a thought.
No, I'm kind of okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's how they get you. I don't know why I'm okay with it, whereas in another series I'd be like, no, you know what? I'm always okay with there being a Bible or something close to your heart.
Okay.
Also, everybody's got cool jetpacks.
What does
the Mandalorian have the jetpack?
Well, that's what he says.
He did.
He goes, I've got to get me one of these rad jetpacks, Mason.
No one want to flying. He's not flying yet. He's not flying. Maybe he will be.
He's getting one.
Yeah. This might be part of, this might be like Smallville, where he never gets to fly. Everyone else gets to fly.
You know what? I think if he doesn't get a jetpack, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm okay with
Life's
it.
Not always about a jetpack.
But it should be.
Yeah, he's got a flamethrower at least. And he's got that homing missile device in his wrist as well.
Well, he did. I think he used to all.
Yeah, they're pretty sick, though.
They're pretty sick.
Yeah.
Whistling Birds.
Yes.
Is that the show, though?
I think that's the whole show. Thank you, Fantastic. Everybody, so much for listening. We couldn't do it without you. We could, but we'd be lunatics.
More so.
More so than normal. Thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening and subscribing and telling a friend, giving us a nice review. James.
It's hot stuff.
Do you have a nice review there?
You know I do.
I'm ready.
It says, best podcast ever. That's the title.
Oh, and there's a question
from
mark.
Chaos with Ack. 5 stars. Thank
chaos
you.
Chaos with a K?
You can see. It's not that chaotic then, is it?
No, not really.
But you can do this in-app. You can open up your phone or your device or whatever. It says, is this the best podcast ever? Maybe. It's entirely possible. Entertainment is subjective and it's possible to me. It's impossible to me to know what you enjoy and if that is similar to what I enjoy, but I do know that I love this podcast. Perfect.
That's a great review because it is very similar to most of our reviews where it's like, look.
We like it, but you might not like it.
Yeah. We're not you.
Yeah.
So we could not possibly say.
Mm.
But I want to be clear, this is a great podcast.
Yes.
One of the best podcasts.
Us three, including Chaos with a C.
Yes.
Agree that it's a great podcast. Right,
His name should just be Regular Chaos.
Yes.
Spelt the regular way.
You know why I don't tell people about this podcast that I know? Because every time I do, they go, yeah, no, I listen to a bit of it. It's just people. I could talk about movies. It's just people talking. Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a bit more to it than that.
Don't tell anyone that.
There's layers of things that you have to do that, you know, you might necessarily not see on the surface.
Have you ever made a meme in real time? I don't know if you have, mate. I mean, you know.
I was just talking about, like, formats and editing.
Have you ever taken advantage of anybody's child saying a dumb thing and then you can say it and then repeat it a bunch of times? It's not easy, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you everybody for doing that.
And that person.
Yeah, that person especially.
Who definitely didn't make it.
That's
this
right. If you'd like to contact us, we're at Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Twitter, at Gmail, at Bandcamp, where we have the last
Jedi
commentary.
Did you
read a Gmail
this week?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Let's think about symmetry.
Oh, yeah, fuck. Yeah. Sorry.
If you would like to go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. If you want some civil, fun discussions about pop culture, topics, and podcasts, and just life. It's real, real groovy over there.
You know
you want to go to planetbroadcasting.com. You want to sign up for the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm at Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James, you are Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. If you'd like to chuck in a buck, you might get that commentary, right?
That's right.
Chucking that
Last Jedi's.
That's right. Yeah. Very nice. You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description if you want to buy a Rian Johnson box set of all his movies in Rian Johnson's head. Or it's JGL and you flip it over and it's Bruce Willis.
Oh, that's way better.
That's pretty good,
should've
right?
Should have started with that. Yeah, no. I can actually edit out the first one.
No, I want you to keep the first one in to show everyone my failure.
Creativity is a process.
Yeah, my DVD box set, if it was everything I'd ever done, it'd be me making a great joke on one side and then me failing the first time on the other side.
Perfect.
You know? You know what I mean? You. Yeah. And you can display whichever one you want on your shelf.
I'd do the failure one.
Yeah, of course you would.
That's how I know you.
Thank you. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. If you'd like a t-shirt, they're on tpublic.com. You just search for Weekly Planet. If you'd like a movement watch, please get on a movement watch. They're good watches.
They're good watches.
There's one right here.
Oh my goodness.
I was wearing it earlier. I've taken it off for the podcast.
How does
he
do it?
For some reason.
How does he do it?
I bought it on the internet. I used the code, the Weekly Planet. I think it's Weekly
How
Planet.
Does he do it?
And then I put my credit card details in and they sent it to me.
How does he do
quite
it?
Quickly. Like it arrived very quickly.
How does he do it?
I've just explained how I did it.
Yeah, but how does
specifics?
He do it?
Do you want my credit card number?
Yes, please.
You can't.
I nearly got you.
You nearly, it's true, you nearly did. Nearly did. You thought, what you do is you wait till I'm really rolling with the finale here on the podcast, and then you're like, what's your credit card number? What's your credit card number? One day I'll just roll into it. I'll be like, oh my God, I always forget that every week, and I'll just tell you the number.
Next week, I guess we'll probably do it a little bit on The Irishman at least.
Yes.
It's going to be out Wednesday.
However many hours we get through of it.
Absolutely. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that
Me
one.
Too.
So, and it's on Netflix, so if people want to watch that.
Yeah, it's coming out on Wednesday, I think.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right, that's the show.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.